Simple chorus. Just sits with you, right? I really do love the Lord.
Yeah, really do.
You know, Pastor Moore, you talk about the attraction on the mount. Mm-hmm. You talk about God's people that just really loves the Lord. Right? It reminds me of that story of Lot and Abraham.
Right.
Lot saw all the same miracles that mm-hmm. Abraham saw.
Yeah, sure.
Uh-huh. Lot talked the angels just like Abraham talked the angels.
Yep.
Yep.
But that group never, ever loved the Lord.
Right.
Come on. Even if you go through the Bible and study it, Lot's group always fought with Abraham's group.
Right.
No matter what. All the blessings. You talk about, I mean, because there was more story after Sodom and Gomorrah.
Right.
That just showed of what God could do. But even after they saw everything that God could do,
right,
whatever he delivered them from, that still was never enough to satisfy them to just trust God wholly and take him at his word.
Right.
Abraham's group. In fact, when they kept fighting, God said, just go. Abraham said, God, we'll just keep fighting. What are you going to do?
Right.
He said to Lot, pick wherever you want to go.
You choose,
choose where you want to go. You know what Lot said? I want to go to this place because it's got the best land, got this. And you know what Abraham said? I know God's going to take care of me.
Yeah, right.
I know I got God. It doesn't matter where you set me. You can set me on a rock. You can set me on the valley. You can set me wherever. I know I got God.
Amen.
I really love God.
Amen.
That's all I'm here for is the love of God.
Amen. Yeah.
You can set me on a hard bench and set me on some carpet. I love the word of God. You can set air conditioned, no air conditioned, singing, no singing. I'm here for the word and the word only.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, my. Let's sing a song and change the order here. Page.
Amen. Go ahead and sing your song, and then we're going to go ahead and just get Brother Covey up.
Get Brother Covey up. Okay.
Yeah.
He knows what he's not a stranger here. He's not a stranger here, brother. Kobe, we will sing this chorus here. God has smiled on me. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, he hates.
Page 191, key of G.
Amen.
Yes, God has smiled on me. He has set me free. I know my
God has
smiled on me. He's been good to me. Hallelujah. He is the source of all my joy. He fills me with his love. Everything.
The Lord, it's sure good to be in the house of God tonight. You know, I've been really excited for this service tonight. It's going to be really good, but the devil just don't like it. I mean, he sent a tornado one time when he's having a service like this, and rainstorms, and just he just sends anything that he can to kill, steal, and destroy. But he can't do it. You know, he's not able to conquer the mighty conqueror. Yes. You know, it's good to be a conqueror.
That's right.
But it would be better to be more than a conqueror.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. How many of you have been enjoying the services?
Amen.
You know, we've had now, tonight it'll be, I think, about five ministers. We had Brother Alex Magulis, and there early on. Uh-huh. We've had Brother Stephen Caressel, Brother Ben Nort. We got Brother Nick Wright tonight.
Amen.
And you can't go wrong by getting a right, you know. And so, but before you're seated, Brother Nick Wright, meet Brother George Wright. There's Brother George Wright right there. I don't know if you're relatives. Brother George, make your way up here if you will.
Amen.
Brother George here, we met in line at a Long John Silver's about 4 years ago or so. And we started talking about God. Imagine that. And then next thing you know, brother, you want to walk out in the parking lot and talk a little while longer? And we did that. And Thursday night, just a couple nights later, he called me and he said, I've been talking to my pastor and we'd like you to come speak for us on Thursday Amen. Night. So the last 3 years or so, I've been over there ministering. And now we've been having them coming over and being with us. You know, we're all God's children. But I'd like him to open us up in prayer, if he will.
Amen.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for the rain. We thank you for the sun. We thank you for everything, God, that you've done for us, because nothing has been bad. It's all been good. God, we pray that you bless each person here tonight, Lord. Many, many requests could be given in, Lord, but you can know the hearts of all the people. And I know, God, that you know how to handle each request that's given. God, I pray that you'd help each one of us to walk where you'd have us to walk and talk where you'd have us to talk. Because one day, Lord, we're going to come to see you, and we're looking forward to that time. And we feel like it won't be long. We don't know, but we think it won't be too long. But most of all is to be ready, Father, we pray. And request I'd have, Father, to you is to, I know you will, Brother and his wife both passed away. He was near 100 years old here in town. And his wife passed away just a couple days after he did. I pray that you'd watch over them and their family. Bless them, Lord, and help the family to follow in their footsteps. God, we pray that each one is here tonight, Father, we'd have the Holy Spirit would come and touch each heart, Lord, and help us all, Lord, to be subject to that, Lord. Thank you for loving us and caring for us and watching over us. You've been so good to me, Father. I could never have enough years left to thank you for all the time, all the blessings that you've given me. I pray, Father, that you'd help us all to be what you'd have us to be. Bless everyone here, Lord. If there's anyone that's discouraged, Father, help them to look to you, knowing that you will take care of everything. Father, we pray that you just bless each one here tonight and watch over us and keep us close to you, Lord. Help us, Lord, as we go through this service tonight into tomorrow. And tomorrow night we have service again down on Stewart Street. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us all to get close, to move closer to you than we've ever been before. Thank you, God, for everything you've done. Help us, Lord, that we would honor you and praise you for everything that you have done. Thank you, Father, for that time that when that big tree fell on me, Lord, I thank you for the fact that you were there. Had you not been there, Father, I might have been killed, but you were there. And I thank you for that. Pray, God, that you bless each one of these folks here. I've not seen anybody any friendlier than these folks are here. And I praise you for them, Lord. And I pray you to continue to help them, Lord, to continue to be friends with not just each other, but with each person they come in contact with. Watch over us, Lord, and keep us close and keep us safe, we pray, in your sweet name. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother George. God bless you. No name sweeter. Y'all may have a seat. You know, Brother George, he fought in World War II. And not that far back? Oh. It wasn't Desert Storm, was it? But
'88.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yeah, Brother George, he was a a tree man, and a big old tree fell on him, should have killed him. And he told me his testimony, boy, if it wasn't for the grace of God, where would you be, you know? And it's good when you meet somebody in a store or a restaurant and you become good friends. It's really, but no greater friend, you know, than him. Let's sing a couple little songs here. Let's go to page 70. Is he everything to you? Is he everything? Yes, he's my all in all. Key of F. Well, he's everything. He's everything to me. He's everything. Oh, he's everything to me. He's my father, my mother, my sister, and my brother. He's everything to me. Oh, yes, he's everything. He's everything to me. He's everything. He's everything to me. He's my father, my mother, my sister, and my brother. He's everything to me. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, he died upon the cross. I know it was the blood for me. Was it now? I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, he died upon the cross. I know it was the blood for me. One more time. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. What he did one day, he laid his head and died. He laid his head and died. He hung his head and died for me. One day when I was lost, he died upon the cross. I know it was the blood. If you mean it, sing it. Oh, I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, he died upon the cross. I know it was the blood. There's a lot of power in blood. You know, nothing in ourselves. You know, there's one God, one faith, one baptism, one way to God. That's through Jesus Christ. And there's only one blood that can cover not just a multitude, but all of our sins, all of them. We're not held responsible, even though we're guilty. Hey, that guy, he's guilty right there. Set him free. I'll take his place. Amen. You know, I've never met a man like Jesus. Right. You know, but I'm guilty. But no, don't worry about it, son. Don't worry about it, son. That's where it is. It's in the relationship that you have with him. But oh, just excited. You ever sometimes just be around your house and that presence of the Lord just comes down. You don't even call him sometimes. He just wants to be with you so much that he just show up. And he just somehow just sweeps over your soul. And every problem in the world just, oh, it just kind of goes away. Just kind of goes away. Let's just sing this one more song and we'll have you seated. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Spirit. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Spirit. Sweep over my soul. My rest is complete while I sit. Just lift your hands to him tonight. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Spirit. Lord, come here tonight, Lord. Be with us here, Lord. Lord, we welcome you tonight. My rest is complete while I sit at your feet. Sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Y'all may be seated if you like. You know, there was just a couple thoughts I had that kind of hit me this week. And, you know, there's a lot of housewives in here probably tonight. And you probably do a lot of vacuuming and cleaning and stuff around the house. And have you ever took your vacuum and, you know, you unrolled that, you know, cord and you took it over and you plugged it into the wall? Well, if you want to sweep the floor, that ain't quite good enough. You got to be plugged in, but then you got to be turned on. So until you're turned on, you're not good for nothing. And until you get the Holy Ghost, that's what turns you on. You know, we can come to church and we can get plugged in. But until that spark that of the Holy Ghost comes down, that's what does the moving. You know, remember that old song, the Holy Ghost will set your feet to dancing? It'll set your feet to doing a whole lot more than that. But all we want to do is go one direction from here on out. Don't worry about the things of the world. The things of the world will kind of take care of themselves, you know. And you don't even really got to do anything to even make it. He comes down and he starts the work. He finishes the work. And then he comes and rewards you for him doing the work for you. You know, it's like he does the work and yet we get the paycheck. Isn't that good? I'll take the paycheck. I'll sure do it. But God is so good. And you know, I don't like to use some examples, but this one hit me pretty good this week. There was an old blues singer, and he was known for playing the piano and singing the blues, and he was blind. And right now, I think he's still alive. He's probably maybe 90 years old now. But his name was Ray Charles. And so they were going to make a life story about him. And they had this actor from Hollywood going to portray him. So they got together, and they got on the piano, and they started playing. And Ray Charles says, "Hey, can you play this certain song?" And, "Well, yeah, Mr. Charles, I think I can." So he starts playing this song, rhythm and blues. And all at once, Ray Charles says, Stop right there. "No, you know better than that, you know, then you know that ain't right." And he goes, "Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Charles, what did I do wrong?" He goes, "Well, son, you're hitting the wrong keys. You know, you are hitting the wrong keys." He said, "You got to take time and you got to hit the right keys." Got to hit the right keys. Just relax a little bit. Slow down. Think about what you're doing. And then you'll hit the right keys. I think that's what we need to do in life. Just let's slow down a little bit. We need to quit. Run, run, run. Go, go, go. Buy, buy, buy. Sell, sell, sell. Do, do, do. I mean, it's just like, that's what the devil wants us to do. We don't want to do what the devil wants us to do. We want to do what God wants us to do. And he would say, slow down. Hit the right keys. You know what the right key is? The right key is Jesus. He's the one that unlocks the door. You know, he's the right key. So I'm going to slow down right here. We got Brother Nick, and he's been a real blessing to me. And he does got quite a testimony. And I thought, I mean, anybody in this world could really do good by hearing this message tonight. Now, I know the devil's fought him all week because it's going to be good. He's fought me. Has the devil fought anybody in here this week? In the last 5 minutes, probably. He sent the rain. He sent everything, you know. But you know, the rain's good. He thought he was doing us a disservice. But hey, send down the former, the latter. Just send us the rain, you know. That's how you grow. That is just how you grow. Well, I tell you, we're going to just all stand, if you will. We're going to invite Brother Nick up. And you musicians might want to step here. I think you might have a song. He might want to sing, and then we're just going to let him have his liberty, if that's okay tonight. All right, let's sing. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonder. About it tonight. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face and the theme.
Thank the Lord. So I will clarify something. I'm not going to sing a song. You don't want me to sing, trust me. But my beautiful wife might have a song maybe after the service or something. She's a wonderful singer. So we will have expectation. God bless everyone. Really appreciate the just the humble spirit. It was really nice to meet those of you I met walking through the door. Brother Covey, really appreciate your hospitality. He's got a beautiful home and a beautiful spirit. He's invited me up. We've known each other for a little while now, but we really got to talking not too long ago at another brother's funeral. And we got a little bit into my testimony. So he invited me up today to tell you a little bit about myself, to introduce myself to you, tell you what the Lord has done. And so just pull on the word, just have some expectation, and we'll see what the Lord does. Certainly not going to put the Lord in a box and, you know, blanket this. So I'll go to the word, the Lord in prayer, and then we'll go ahead and get started. Well, we thank you, Lord. We just thank you for this atmosphere, and we ask nothing more than for your presence to be with us, Lord. We surely invite the angel of the Lord to stand amongst us today and just walk in our midst, Lord. We just want you to be glorified with all the words spoken, the testimony given today, and we ask that you anoint the ears to hear and anoint the speaker today, and Lord, just help my voice today. It's been a little rough as of lately. It's another attack from the devil. We thank you, Lord, and we praise your mighty name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, God bless everyone. You may be seated. I'm just going to go right into the testimony. So I was studying a little bit. Y'all are obviously familiar with John Patmos. He wrote 3 books of the Bible. And I find it interesting. You got to look into history to find out any of the wrong or bad things that were done to him. Y'all know the history a little bit, I'm sure. He was boiled. They tried to behead him. All these different things. But in three books in the Bible, you don't read about the tribulations or trials. You read about, instead, the solution. The solution, the revelation of Jesus Christ. So, as I tell my testimony here, a lot of us can probably look back at our lives and see toils and hardships and things like that. But for myself, I don't want to focus on those things. I want to focus on the solution. And telling that, I have to talk about some of the bad things a little bit so you know where I came from. But I have 45 minutes, so we're going to keep it a little bit short. This is my whole life we're talking about here. So I grew up in a rough home. Parents divorced. Dad was pretty mean, abusive. I had the mindset as a child, if a God exists, I don't want anything to do with him, just because of the life that I lived. So you could imagine that even the thought of crying out to a Lord or the thought of praying to a God was very far from my mind. I thought he gave me this poor life. That was my mindset. When I was maybe 6 years old, I like to start out here because it's a great example of how silly people can be sometimes to not see God working in your life right in front of you. So I was about 6 years old, 7 years old maybe, and my neighbors had a A-frame love swing. It's one of those ones where the S-hook, you know what I'm talking about, the S-hooks hold the swing up. So the neighbors went on vacation, and their mindset was probably, well, the little kid, Nick, he's probably going to climb on this and break it. So they took it off and put it in their house or something like that. So what do? I climb on it anyway. I'm sitting on top of the pole, and I'm eating a sandwich. And I remember this little girl across the street was yelling something at me, and I was yelling something back at her. And I remember thinking, I'm going to make her think I'm cool. So in my mind, I imagine myself hopping off this A-frame swing, grabbing the bar, swinging, and biting my sandwich. And I'm like, yeah, she's going to think I'm cool. So I hop off, and I miss, and I fall. And the S-hook went right in my neck. And a little six-year-old Nick was hanging 3 feet off of the ground, watching cars go by with a thought in my mind, are they just going to let me die? I recall thinking this. And thank God the neighbor from around the corner happened to be walking her dog. And she saw me, and she went and started knocking on my door to get my mom's attention. Well, my mom didn't answer for some time. She was actually in the shower. And so she eventually came out in her towel and saw me hanging by this chain and didn't think twice, just ripped me off. Took me to the ER. And the doctor said he has no idea how my jugular vein was not severed. No idea. Well, I do know that gravity wasn't working for me that day. Gravity was not working for me that day. It was an angel of the Lord. So we'll go a little bit further because, again, I'm trying to cut a lot of stuff into 40 minutes. So I was probably about 16 here, and it's a pretty similar story. Again, my dad was pretty abusive. Won't get much into that because we're not going to glorify that. We're not going to give the devil any ground, right? So one day my dad actually stopped me, and I was walking through the house, and he said, "Boy, why are you always walking around here all depressed?" And I saw that as, okay, He actually wants to talk. Cool. So I started to open up to him. I said, well, honestly, Dad, sometimes I just think about death. I couldn't help it. I was just depressed. That's just what was on my mind. It was just darkness at the time. I had no real revelation or idea about a God, and I didn't want him anyway. So my dad looks at me and says, oh, you want to kill yourself, huh? Goes in his room, grabs a shotgun, hands it to me, and says, go ahead, kill yourself. And so I took the shotgun, looked at him, and said, are you serious? He said, actually, no. Go outside and kill yourself, because I don't want to clean up a mess. So I handed it to him, gave him some not-so-nice words, and went upstairs in my room. And I made the decision that day, I'm going to do it. I'm going to end it. So I wrote a note, and it said, I'm upstairs hanging around. Don't send the kids up to get me for dinner. Put it at the bottom of the stairs and went back up in my room. Y'all are familiar with like an attic access, like the little notches you push up and move out of the way to get into the attics. So I had one of those in my room, and I had a little hunting chair. And I stood up on the hunting chair, got a nice stout shirt, long sleeve shirt, and pushed that up out of the way, tied it around a truss real nice and tight, hung on it to make sure it was tight, shut the door over it, put it around my neck, stood on the chair, kicked it out from under me. I fell. And I opened my eyes, and I was on the ground. I'm like, what in the world? Picked up the end that was around the truss, and it was still tied. So I'm looking at this thing thinking, great, I just broke the truss. Now my dad's really going to kill me. So I pop up the attic access and move it out of the way. But the first thing I noticed was there's no big hole in the wall. So that kind of confused me, because I figured if it pulled through, it would create a big hole in the wall. There was no big hole in the wall. And I get up there and I look at the truss, and the truss is perfectly fine. And I start to thinking, well, did I tie it to the truss behind that? So I start looking, and that's perfectly fine. So I get down on the chair, look at this again, not ripped, take it off from my neck, throw it in the corner and say, well, I'm not doing that again. But again, think about this. Dumb, how dumb can you be to have something like that happen but not recognize the supernatural in your life? We're silly people. We're silly people. And sometimes you just got to get sick of your condition before you realize that you really, truly need a God. So I like to start with those things, because it's an example of just maybe the supernatural we overlook sometimes in our life. That's what I overlooked. And those are some examples of the Lord being in my life at an early age. Brother, is this okay? I'm just going to slow down, like Brother Kobe said. Amen. Right? Amen. Have my liberty. Amen. I appreciate y'all.
Amen.
So, around the same age, I'm 16, roughly, 15, 16. I'm actually at a party, and I'm what you call babysitting. So, in other words, I'm watching a bunch of people act belligerent, and I'm making sure that they don't burn the house down or stick forks in light sockets and things like that. So after everyone is sleeping, I get everybody to bed. I sit down, and something in me just breaks. I feel heartache. I start feeling. And I cry out, God, if you exist, just show me. And it wasn't, God, if you exist, strike this pole with lightning. It was a sincere heart cry, and I meant it. And immediately upon praying that, the Lord began to reveal himself to me. Very supernatural. Now, you got to believe in the supernatural to believe my testimony, which I'm sure you all do, because, you know. Right? So the Lord immediately starts dealing with me, and I begin to actually have visions, and I begin to feel like I'm being just pulled in several different directions. And I didn't learn until much later that that was the deep calleth unto the deep. That's exactly what was happening right there. Well, in the midst of that all happening, and again, avoiding some detail, just to keep it kind of short, but in the midst of that, I heard a voice for the very first time in my life say, son, remember the time. And I looked up through teary eyes, and I saw the time, and it was 1:11 a.m., and it turned to 1:12. And so I that seared in my mind. I never forgot that. I was always walking around trying to figure out what that meant. So the next day, basically, I go to sleep, you know, wake up, continue on about my life. I go to school. Obviously, I'm still in high school at the time. I'm 16. And I would be walking through class, and suddenly the atmosphere would just shift and change, and I would start seeing spiritual things, and it wasn't really making sense or clicking with me at the time. And the strange part is I didn't question it. Again, how dumb can we be sometimes? There's supernatural things happening, and I still don't even acknowledge that this could be a God. So one night, I'm at home in my room on my couch, my futon, and I hear this noise, and it sounds like, and I'm like, what is this noise? And I go to the window, and I open the blinds, and it is the bluest sky you will ever see in your life. And I think in my head, I'm going to watch this tree, and if a leaf even moves a little bit, I'm chalking it up to the wind, because I had no idea what this was. Not a leaf was moving. The sky was blue. I'm kind of confused here. So I go and I listen. Is it the vacuum cleaner? What is this noise? And it's getting louder and louder, and the atmosphere is getting heavier and heavier. And I sit back down on my couch, and it just gets louder and louder and heavier and heavier. And then it hits me. And I stand up and I say, I'm just going to take a nap. I'm just going to go to bed. I'm going to take a nap. I don't know what's going on, but I'm going to go lay down. So I go to my bed, and we'll pretend piano's my bed. So I go over to my bed, and there is a vanity right at the foot of my bed, okay? So bear that in mind. I go to hop on my bed, and brothers and sisters, I don't touch my bed. I float. I do not touch my bed. And I'm sat back up on my feet, and I walk over to the mirror. And something starts speaking through me, saying, "You're cool. You got girls. You're a sponsored skateboarder. You got this, you got that, you got this." And then I heard a voice, "Son, look at your life." I begin to have these visions of my past and how the Lord has been with me through all of these things, some of which I had mentioned. And I'd snap out of the visions, and I'd realize I don't want those things. I don't want the sponsored skateboard activities, and I don't want these girls, and I don't want this popularity. I don't want these things. I felt like I was being pulled between love and like a coaxing lust. So it was a battle in my soul between God and the devil. And that happened several times. It would speak through me, "You got this, you got that, you know, you're cool, you blah, blah, blah," whatever he was saying, I don't really remember. And I'd hear that voice, "Son, look at your life." I begin to have visions of the present state of my life. And then it happened again. "You're cool, blah, 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 blah," right? "Son, look at your life." And I started having visions of the future. I didn't realize it at the time, but that's what was going on. I started having visions of the future. So I snapped out of it again, and I kind of got a little sarcastic this time. I looked up and I said, "Can I go lay down now?" I had a little bit of a belief in me that something existed at this point, because I really can't deny it. So I go and I lay down, my head hits the pillow, and begin to have visions again. And again, it's the future, but it's showing me things that are in my life that I got to cut out, and things that are just in my way, in my walk with God. I didn't know it at the time. So I'm being showed all these things, and I'll tell you some of the visions because they are relevant to the testimony. Maybe three of them. But in just a second. So these visions are pouring in, and it's like so rapid, in rapid succession, like a flip camera. And I hear that voice again say, "Preacher." And I shoot up from laying down, and I'm like, "Me? No way." So I immediately put that down, like, "Nah, not me. Wrong guy here." And basically, the rest of the night was as normal. I ate dinner, went to bed, went to school the next day. Similar things were happening, these supernatural things, right? But I get home, and what made it a little bit different is I went to go get a shower, and I looked in the mirror again, I just looked at myself. It was just me, nothing supernatural, just me looking at myself, looking in my eyes. And I just start crying and I say, I surrender. Lord, I surrender. And at that time, I didn't know exactly what I was surrendering to, but I just wanted to know who that thing was that just did that stuff to me. That was my mindset. So what does any person do, I suppose anyway, what does any person do when they first come to the Lord or they first start believing in God? They find a church. So in the midst of these visions and these things that I'm having, I'm actually receiving answers to things that a lot of nominal Christians, they're still debating about, right? So one of the big questions on my heart at some point was, well, what's the Trinity, right? And I won't get too deep into that, but I will tell you a glimpse of some of the things that the Lord showed me and how I got to the point that I'm at now. So the first vision on the bed there, I was in this dark room, and it was an open-top room, and this room was surrounded by doors. It had doors all the way around the room, if you can envision this, and it was very dimly lit. And I went to the first door, and I opened the door, and there was just dirt behind it. I went to the next door, and I opened the door, and there was just dirt behind it. And that process continued until I got all the way around. Well, then I kind of got frantic in this vision, and I started taking the doorknobs off, and I threw them in the middle of the floor. I was just throwing them in the middle of the floor, going all the way around, taking them off. And I come to realize that the doorknob represented truth, and the door represented lies, okay? So I opened it, had a little bit of truth in it, and I opened it, and there was just, I couldn't go through it, right? So that was a perfect glimpse of my walk. I started going to churches, and I started telling people about my testimonies. I think the first church I went to was a non-denominational whatever church. And upon telling my testimony, I was asked to actually like lead the youth. And then the things I was saying, a lot of the preachers were like, whoa, wait a minute here. But the youth were really attracted to it. And actually, one of the people are in the crowd right now, my friend Eric, he actually got to witness all of this. Me go from an atheist, not believing a God existed or not wanting him in my life, to where I'm at now. So he witnessed this, and I think that's beautiful. But I'm going around to these different churches, and I'm telling them these experiences and these revelations and these things that are happening to me. And these people are looking at me like I'm absolutely nuts. But like I said, there's people kind of attracted to it. So if you can catch the picture here, I'm going to a church, I'm grabbing on the little bit of truth, opening the door and finding dirt behind it. And then so I go to another church, a Pentecostal church and a Methodist church and so on and so forth, right? I go through the gambit basically, trying to figure out who I can fellowship with. That was my main objective. Who can I fellowship with? Another vision I had, I was standing on a globe, and I had an arrow, a bow and arrow in my hand, and I shot it, and I could see kind of a panoramic view of it going and landing in certain places. And right behind me was a lady praying. And so that was it. That was the extent of the vision. We'll get to that a little bit later. So there's a couple things to remember now. Remember the rooms, remember the time, remember the globe vision. The third was I was standing at a pulpit, hitting it with my finger, saying, you've got to stick with the word. You've got to stick with the word. Okay? And one more I'll tell you that kind of really set the pace with me going to these different churches. I had another vision that I was, again, in a dark kind of room or dark area, and there was a bonfire in the middle of the floor, and I had a stick in my hand, and I walked up to it, and I put the stick in the fire, and I pulled the stick out. And I heard that same voice say, is it the same fire? And I remember I woke up from this vision, and I just understood the Trinity. I just got it. I understood the oneness of the Lord. I got it. And so I'm going around trying to tell people,
it's the same fire. You put the stick in, you take the stick out, it's the same fire. And that's pretty much the response I got. They're like, that's funny. They have no idea what I'm talking about. You guys do, but, you know, they were like, okay, yeah, go sit down, Junior. But there's people that really understood what I was saying, or at least knew that there was substance to it, because they saw the dramatic change in my life. So at one service, there was a young lady that came up to me and said, you need to talk to my grandpa. He says some very similar things to you, as you do. And so I say, okay, you know, I agree to it, and I go and I meet this man. And I shake his hand, and he steps back and he looks at me and he says, brother, the pillar of fire is standing on your head. He said, the angel of the Lord's with you. And I had no idea what that meant, but I started crying because I'm like, that has to be a good thing. So we talk and I tell him my testimony and we really connect. I find out he has a lot of similar experiences as I do. When I tell him about specific visions I have, like the bonfire and a couple other ones, he mentions somebody named William Branham. And just so I'm clear, show of hands, who hasn't heard of William Branham in here? Okay, good. So we don't have to go that route. That's a good thing. So he starts telling me about Brother Branham, and so I'm immediately intrigued. What is this pillar of fire? What is this angel of the Lord? And so I actually go Google, what is the angel of the Lord? As silly as that sounds, right? And the first thing that pops up is the angel of the Lord and how he commissioned me. And I recognized the name, William Branham. It's like, oh, sweet. So I clicked it, listened to it, and I was hooked. Everything he was saying, I was identifying with, but I couldn't identify with any of the other churches that I went to, okay? He got to a point, if y'all haven't listened to it, but if you remember, he starts talking about the whirlwind that he met in the tree, right? And he starts describing the sound when the whirlwind approached, and it was, and when he started describing that sound, I perked up. I sat at attention because in my experience at the time, I had heard nobody else that had experienced anything like I had. I thought I was the only one in the world that believed what I believed. And my mission in life was to go try to get people out of these denominations, right? That was what my mindset was. Well, I started digging in. I started eating the book, right? I kind of joke, I don't know if you guys will know the reference, but Garfield, how he like eats lasagna, just piles it. That's what I was doing. I was just as much as I could, just piling it in. And he was taking these visions I had, and I was finding them in the scriptures, and then he would articulate what they meant. So it became even more real to me because I had experienced all of these things. I had experienced the angel of the Lord. I had experienced the pillar of fire and this rushing mighty wind, and I just couldn't put words to it. I couldn't articulate it. So as I'm studying the scriptures, I always kind of say, Jesus didn't appear to me and shake my hand and say, hi, I'm Jesus. But what he did do is he gave me experiences and then took it right to the scriptures, because if it's outside of the scriptures, it's not God. Put it away. So my experiences were right with the scriptures. I came to realize that the Holy Spirit, when he came to me with that rushing mighty wind, was found in Acts 2. And that opened my eyes and brought joy to my life. But then I heard Brother Branham share the same experience. So I'm not comparing myself by any means, but I'm just stating a fact. At the point, I had very similar experiences to the prophet, right? So made me feel real special. So basically, I got to the point where I was going around preaching the message without realizing I was preaching the message. I had a word for it now. I had substance behind what I was saying because it was not only an experience, but there was power to it. There was demonstration to it. And it became so powerful. And again, my friend, he's a witness to this. We would invite anybody and everybody to these meetings. People would follow us from youth services and come to houses, you know, one of our houses or whatever. And there would be atheists, literally atheists, over by the computer playing snuff films to try to hinder what was going on. And within 5, 10, 20 minutes, they were over in the meeting on their face crying because the angel of the Lord was there. It was beautiful. So I'm adamant. I'm going around. I'm homeless. I'm living in my car. I'm as happy as can be. I'm going around baptizing people in bathtubs because I learned, well, you baptize people in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, so we're going to do this. And I'd explain it to them on why it's the truth, and they'd accept it, and we'd baptize them where they were. Bathtubs, water basins, creek, whatever. We'd do it. And it was beautiful. It's all beautiful. I came to a point where I realized there's a gift, right? There's got to be a gift in a minister's life, and I began to realize this isn't just me being I don't even know the words for it, but this isn't just me making this up, or this isn't just me having some random experience. There's a gift here, and the day I realized that there was something going on, I was sitting at a table, and just relax your mind here a little bit and just take this, because I don't know. It's a mixed crowd, right? I don't know what everybody believes or where everybody stands or anything like that, but the pillar of fire could appear here today, and everybody here could see it, right? And everybody here could feel it, and everybody here could have that experience. So the first time I realized that there was something there besides or beyond believing that God existed, I was sitting at a table and I was explaining to someone, and I brought them to the scripture where John goes to Jesus and he says, "Hey, they're over there casting out demons in your name." And he says, "Should I rebuke them?" And what does Jesus say? He says, "No, because if they're not against me, they're for me." But one of the things that the Lord took out of that and showed me was the difference between the two. There was a group over here. They were casting out demons. They were doing the works. By all means, they look like Christians. They were healing the sick. They were feeding the poor. They were doing everything a Christian does. But the difference between the two, because the apostles were doing the same thing, you better believe that. The difference between the two is one group was walking with the Word. The manifested Word. Amen? So when he showed me that and I expressed that, that light appeared. And I had no idea what it was, but a star appeared. And I turned around and I looked, and I just made sure the blinds were shut. What is going on? It didn't go away, and I just kind of made a face, you know, like not really sure what was going on. And I could imagine that the person that was sitting in front of me thought I had lost my mind because I'm here talking, and all of a sudden I'm making faces. So they're like, "What?" And I'm like, "The Prince of Peace is here." That's all I knew, was the Prince of Peace is here. And from that moment on, I just began following that light. And that light led me to where I am today. Amen. We'll get there. We'll get there. Amen. So fast forward, right? I'm cutting so many details out. But basically, that was my life for several years. I thought I was the only one who believed what I believed. I was going around telling people in these denominations about Brother Branham and his message and all of these different things. And either people were rejecting me, thinking I'm nuts and thinking I'm a cult leader and thinking I'm whatever, or they'd come out. My wife happened to be one of those people that came out. So I'm going around, you know, traveling, and I find a very lovely young lady that I fancy and want to marry. So my mindset is actually, I never ever want to buy a house, because if the Lord calls me to Zimbabwe, I'm ready to go now. If he calls me to Australia, I'm ready to go now. I don't want to be tied down with a house. That was just my mindset at the time. So I start working, because I was working part-time. I was a busser. So I start working and working full-time, and I actually end up getting hurt. I hurt my hand. and it took me out of work. I was on disability for some time, and I was making less than my paycheck. So I was living less than paycheck to paycheck. I had zero money. I had zero money. None. I remember those days. It was rough. So I remember I was sitting in bed one day after just having hip surgery, because they took my hip to rebuild my hand. And the Lord speaks to me and says, now is the time to buy a house. So I kind of chuckle and I say, okay then, I'm not going to question it. I download a realtor app, and the first house that pops up, I hear that's the house. So I click contact seller and I put my phone down and I go about my day. Well, within a day, the realtor contacts me to go look at the house. And I go look at the house, and it's absolutely beautiful. I'm like, well, this is the house, but I have zero money, so I don't know how I'm going to do this, but okay. So, of course, I'm witnessing to this realtor, and she's like, well, that's really cool that you believe in Jesus. The owner of this house actually believes in Jesus, too. So I'm like, oh, that's awesome. I'd like to meet him someday. Sorry. And so basically we just go through the process. I'm sure most of you in here have bought a house, or at least been, you know, with a parent or something who's bought a house. It's pretty extensive. So we get the inspector, we start doing the tours, we you know, go through the gambit there. And I still have no idea how I'm gonna get any money. So I get to the point where I actually do the inspection and meet the owner. So we're going through, and I'm witnessing to him. And I'm always real careful. I've been through, like I said, I've been through the gambit going to all these denominations. So I toss a little bit out, and I see how people react. And what was going on is he was actually biting. So I'd go a little bit deeper and a little bit deeper. I got to the point, after talking for 5 hours, right? After talking for 5 hours, I get to the point where I say, hey, I was going around all these churches, and I realized there's three different types of believers. There's unbelievers, there's believers, and there's make-believers. He kind of looks at me funny, and he's like, I know someone who says that. I'm like, who? Who says that? And he says, oh, someone named William Branham. And I pick this man up, and I start spinning him around. I'm hugging him, and he's just kicking his feet going, whoa, what? Because he has no idea yet that I believe what I believe. And so I really start getting deep then. And we talk. I was gone from like 8 a.m. to like 5. It was crazy. I was there for like almost 12 hours just talking. And he enlightened me that there is actually not one, not two, but three churches, message churches, within 20 miles of me. And he asked me the question, how on earth did you go around for all these years and not know that there was a message church right there? So he invited me to church, and I ended up going, and it was amazing. It was everything I was looking for the whole time. I found people who believed what I believed, and I found people that I felt like I could fellowship with. And I felt free and lifted. And one of the first ministers I heard, besides Brother Branham, that I 100% agreed with, was Brother Ron Spencer. I'm sure you guys are familiar with Brother Ron Spencer. Maybe not, but hey, look him up. He's a miracle walking, really amazing minister and Christian brother. But he's the first minister I hear that it's just striking me, and the things that I was saying, he was saying, and he was talking about, of all things, faith to heal a hand, and he had no idea I was in the crowd. It was just the Spirit of the Lord, the atmosphere at the time, and truly, truly amazing. So at the end of the service, we go to Arby's and we start to fellowship, and I'm telling them my testimony, actually in a lot more detail than what I'm telling you folks today. But I had mentioned one of the old men I met. Remember, they shook my hand and said, the angel of the Lord's on you. That one of the old men I met on the highways and the byways, I had mentioned the name, and someone popped up and said, "Hey, I know that person. His son actually preaches over here." And so here's where it gets a little bit interesting. So basically my Christian life to this point has been me just following the Lord and me being let down by churches and let down by men and not finding the fellowship that I wanted and really coming against the status quo of what I thought was Christianity and things like that. I'm in a church now, so there's structure, it's different, right? I don't know how I can relay that to you to get you to really understand what I mean, but it was just different for me. So I start going to this brother's church that I had mentioned, and I began to tell my testimony, and I didn't realize at the time that there was actually message believers who were extremely legalistic, and they started to pick apart my testimony and break me down and tell me I shouldn't preach and tell me I should just sit and be quiet and lots of stuff, right? And so that affected me, because I got to the point where this is a man I'm looking up to. This is somebody that I felt like I could fellowship with. I felt, and again, I'm not giving the devil any ground here. This is just an explanation, right? So there is no ill will. There is nothing here, so don't think that. But it just threw me off. And so I did what he said. I sat down in the pew and eventually slowly faded out. I stopped going to church and I kind of disappeared and faded into the background. And people would ask where I went and things like that. But I had a couple brothers specifically who really, they would spend hours and hours and hours talking with me and just being true brothers. So I'm getting way ahead of myself. I want to talk about one of the miracles. Almost forgot about how I got the house. My brother over there that witnessed all of these things had quit his job, and he didn't have money either, but he had quit his job, and he's like, "Whoa, wait a minute, how do I have this $12,000 check?" Well, he didn't realize that they automatically took a 401k out of his check, out of his check each week. So he had been saving all this money and didn't even know it. And so he graciously was like, "This is yours, Nick. This is for the house." So God, that is a miracle. He got to witness so many miracles and so many signs and wonders and so many different things, and he got to witness, I like the story of the pond lily. He got to witness that. He got to see that. He used to be Catholic, and from me experiencing the things I did, he left that and started following the Lord too. So he has a very good heart, and God bless him. So that's a miracle. But so I'm going to these churches and I'm getting broke down, and again, I'm falling back. I'm stopped going to church, and I just engulf myself in work, and I run from my calling even more, because not only did I not want to preach to begin with, I was going around all these churches not meaning to preach. I just wanted fellowship, and I was preaching, and I was trying to just not. I was trying to stay away from it and just be done with it. Well, this gave me a perfect opportunity to walk away from that and not look back. So I engulfed myself in work, and realistically, I backslid. So God let me fall away and backslide. God let me be a tape only. God let me go to denominations. God let me do all of these different things. So I experienced all these things. And if you're catching what I'm saying in my testimony, I experienced all these things so you don't have to. I went through it, and here I am, and I can say that this is the absolute truth. So we get our house. We kind of just, we're living, right? We're just nothing really to talk about there. We're not happy. We're working. We're whatever. We have no peace. We have no shalom. We have nothing that Brother Covey was talking about a little bit earlier, that peace that passes all understanding. We don't have it because we're not serving the Lord. We walked away. And I would still get visions, and I would still have things happen. And I would say, I don't want these things. I would pray them away. I would want them to stop. I would want them to just be out of my life. I didn't want it anymore. I put it down. And I felt a real pull to go back to the original church that I first went to. And I ignored it. But then I heard a voice speak, go back to True Word. So I couldn't deny it anymore. I went to my wife and I said, hey, do you want to go back to True Word? And she said yes, because she had apparently been being convicted about that as well. And this was several, 2 years later, roughly. So it took 2-3 weeks before we actually went back. But upon going back, the services were phenomenal. The Spirit of the Lord moved there, and what the Lord was really doing is he was showing me that these experiences I had as a young man were now happening in the church through the body. Because I struggled with basically authority at the time. I struggled with coming to a certain headship. I struggled with accepting the fivefold ministry because I was hurt by it. I struggled with all these things. But I accepted, obviously, Brother Branham, the tapes. I accepted the gifts. I accepted things like that. But I really struggled otherwise. And so what the Lord was showing me was that he is now operating in a body. So not only did I see all of these signs, all of these wonders, hear this rushing mighty wind, see this pillar of fire, but now I'm seeing it in a body. And I'm seeing it in not just a body, but the bride. And one day the minister is preaching, and he's preaching about me, and he doesn't even realize he's preaching about me, but he's talking about Moses walking away from his calling and just all these different things. And I pray, Lord, if this is for me, just let me hear that rushing mighty wind one more time. And all of a sudden the preacher stops and he starts talking about some breakthroughs that another brother had, and he starts talking about how the devil wants to come and try to take these breakthroughs, and then the Holy Spirit comes and he goes, and then he goes over to this other brother and he starts talking about a breakthrough that he knows he had and how the devil wants to take it away, and then he says, but then the Holy Spirit comes. Then he comes to the platform and he says it again. He says, you know, something about a breakthrough, and the devil wants to take it away, and then the Holy Spirit comes. And then it hit me. After the third time, it hit me. Okay. I see what you're doing, Lord. That's you using him to show me that you're working in your body. I can accept that. These services, and they're just so powerful. That pillar of fire would move amongst the people, and you could just see these breakthroughs after breakthrough after breakthrough. But I came to the point, and you got to realize this. If you're spiritually minded, you've got to realize this. The headship is the word. The gifts are temporary. We don't need the gifts with the word. The gifts just follow the word, right? So there's a difference between the two groups I had mentioned earlier. One was chasing the gifts, doing the works, looking like Christians for all intents and purposes, but they weren't walking with the word. So as much as I believed the word, I had to come to the hard realization that I wasn't walking with the word. What he showed me there was actually about me. I was running from the word. Even though the word was chasing me, I was running from the word. I didn't want to submit to the word. Well, this is a new day. This is a new day. Amen. And every time I go to pick up this calling, it's like the devil just, he comes against it. Here I am today, pounding on a pulpit, telling you, you've got to stay right with the word. Amen. And what is this today? This is a fulfillment of a vision, if you're catching this, because this has not happened before. That's exactly what this is, and what you're recognizing right now is part of the word being manifested. Amen. Now, one night, one of the ministers who I look up to tremendously, has helped me so much, Brother Lawson, if you don't know who that is, another powerful minister, called me, or text. He actually texted me and said, "Hey, the Lord just spoke your name to me. Are you okay?" And I said, "Well, not really. I'm going through some spiritual warfare right now." And he says, "Well, do you want to come talk?" And I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Are you a nighttime guy?" And I said, "Yes, sir." So I don't hear from him for about 6 hours, and at 10 p.m. I get a phone call. "Hey, you want to come over and chat?" So I go over and I chat, and my spirit is still really on edge, or just maybe on reserve, because of all the hurt that I faced in the message. And we're just talking, and I'm telling him a little bit about my testimony, because we had never got into where I came from before. And I started talking about the times I've seen the pillar of fire and these supernatural things that have happened. And I'm kind of saying it like timid, like shy. And he's like, "Yeah, brother, when I was young, my mom said she saw me running from a light. And I looked back and I seen the light. I was running from it." And when he said that, I sighed and sat back in my seat. And I was like, "Are you serious? There's someone else I can relate to." And he said, right when I sat down and sighed, he said this little black thing, he said about this big, just left me. And he kept going, it just went right out the door, like he was shocked to see it. But I felt it. I felt that depression leave me. That same depression that came on me back when I was a kid, back when I tried to do those things, it was on me trying to get me to do the same things. It actually even told me at one point, "Hey, you're in the reserves. Your wife will get that SGLI check. Just do it. Just take your life. It's not even worth it anymore." That thing was on me again, tormenting me. And just a simple conversation. It didn't have to be anything special. Just the power of God between two believers. When two or more are gathered in my name, I'm in the midst of them. There's a deliverance that can happen. There's a deliverance that will happen. And it happened for me. So, right out the door. Right out the door, right? It's gone. And so the really cool part that happened, he looked at his floor and he says, "Brother Nick, see that globe right there?" I'm like, "Yes, sir." He's like, "I want you to have that globe." I'm like, "Well, thank you. I really appreciate that." So he hands it to me and he looks at me and he says, "You never know where you're going to go to preach the gospel." And you got to remember, even at this point, I am completely rejecting any notion of me preaching at all. I want nothing to do with it because I'm terrified of it anyway. But this man hands me a globe and says, "You never know where you're going to preach the gospel." So I get ready to go leave. And by this time, it's pretty late. But I get to remembering something. And the thing I remember is I would go around actually looking at this number, 111, 112, trying to figure out what exactly it meant, how the Lord was leading me. And I would come up with all these, you know, crazy theories. When you're trying to interpret the word of God, that tends to happen, right? That's how we got, you know, 40,000 denominations. So I hear a brother actually give an explanation on the cloud. There was a big attack on the cloud when I was coming into the message. And I found that really unique, because as I was coming into the message supernaturally, these people were trying to pick apart things that they have no idea what they're even talking about. They're trying to interpret something that they can't even understand. So this brother gives a really powerful explanation on the cloud. It's very intellectual, I'll be honest. It's very mathematic, right? So he's talking about it going at this speed and da-da-da-da-da, and it's impossible that it was a rocket and all these different things. And I'm intrigued by this because he flips open the Life magazine that cloud was in. Y'all recall that, right? And it's on page 111 and 112. So when I realized that, I was like, that is awesome. That must be what it is. It's further confirmation that I'm in the truth. That's what I thought at the time, right? So as I'm leaving Brother Lawson's house with this globe in my hand, I set it down and I remember during me, while I was telling him my testimony, I had completely forgot to tell him that. And I'm like, man, he would think that was awesome. I need to tell him that. So I picked up my phone and I started texting him because I was in the driveway at the time and it's late. I'm not going to go knock on his door to bother him. So I'm texting him and I look at the time and I realize it is 1:11 a.m. and it turned to 1:12. And so I'm like, wait a minute here. So I delete the message, I set it down, I drive home, I go and I tell my wife about all the things that had just happened. We start going over my testimony and everything that had happened in the past and where I'm at now. And she smiles and just drifts off to sleep and says, remember the time. And it all just connected because not only did I get that globe, it was a fulfillment of a vision. Okay, because the vision of me, you know, shooting, right? You never know where you're going to go to preach the gospel. That's exactly what that was. That day was a commission. I didn't realize it at the time. The door vision, where I went around a couple times, I started off adamantly seeking fellowship, going to these different churches, opening these doors, and they're all dirt, right? They're all dirt. And I get to the message, and I get hurt. So I fall back, and I get frantic, and I start taking the doorknobs off. I'm sitting alone, and I'm frantic. What's the truth? I thought this was the truth. Maybe I should just give up. Throwing the doorknobs. I get back around, and I realize in this vision, the light from the top of the open room is reflecting on those doorknobs, and it lights the room up, and there's a doorway that's completely open that I missed the entire time because, you know, human stupidity, like we were talking about a little bit earlier. Well, when I went back to my original church, that's when all this healing and all these things started happening and flowing in. I'm talking tremendous growth with my family, tremendous growth with me, just submitting to the word, submitting to the headship. So it's absolutely beautiful. That's right, sister. And I can't help it. I can't help but remember the pond lily. I can't help but think about that seed that falls into the depth of the water, into the mud, into the dirt, and begins to grow. Something strikes it and it begins to grow, and there's something that just pulls it up. It's an atmosphere. It can't help it. It has to go up. There might be something that tangles it up a little bit, but eventually that's going to break away because guess what? That seed gets so big that it has to go up. It has to go towards the sun. I can't help but remember the pond lily. You mind if I preach for a minute? I told you my testimony, so. I'll say it today with all my heart. It matters what you believe. It matters what you believe. Because of unbelief, every problem that man has ever had, every sickness, every disease, everything was caused by one woman believing one word of God, disbelieving one word of God, you see? Could we open the scriptures? I want to open to Matthew 27. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Matthew 27, 39, and I'm going to read to 42. Thank you all. I don't mean to keep you late or anything. Appreciate you listening to me be a little bit long-winded. I tried to keep it short. If anybody's ever interested in fellowshipping and talking a little bit more, I'd be very honored to learn more about y'all too. I don't mind the drive. I'm an hour and a half away, but I want to come up and visit Brother Eric Moore and any of you who'd be willing to sit and talk with me. So Matthew 27, 39 to 42. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise, also the chief of priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him come now down from the cross, and we will believe him." This scripture we just read actually directly fulfills Psalms 22, 7 to 16. And I think this is tremendous to catch this. If you go back and read verse 42, "If he be the king of Israel, let him come down from the cross, and we will believe him." These chief priests would only believe him if he broke the scriptures. This scripture is a direct fulfillment of the Psalms, and they would only believe it if he broke the scriptures. What you believe matters. Because the disbelief, the unbelief of one word of God caused all of this.
Amen.
The enemy's thoughts, they're identified today. Unbelief. We overcome the scriptures. We overcome, as the scriptures say, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimonies. Amen. You all heard mine, but you all have a testimony. You just got to proclaim it. And what is the blood of the Lamb? I loved the songs today because they fit my thought so perfect. I didn't know if we'd get to it, but I'm really glad that there's a pool and there's this liberty here. Amen. I really feel the liberty, and I really appreciate it. He is the Word. John 1, 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." That same Word came to Noah and began to make a covenant with him and began to show him very specific details on how to build an ark. And that same Word came to Moses as a pillar of fire and led Moses to be like any other Christian that does some crazy things. "I'm going to go take over Egypt." That's what Brother Branham said, a one-man army. It's the same Word that led Joshua and Caleb into the promised land. It's the same Word that revealed himself to Elijah and gave him the power and authority to stand against that woman Jezebel. And that Word became flesh. And if you believe that Word is that flesh, then you got to believe that the blood is that Word too. It's part of that flesh. So what is the blood? The blood is the Word. Think about it. And when Jesus, the flesh man, stood on this earth and his back was whipped and tattered and torn and shredded to pieces, that was a healing lashing right there. Amen. And that blood trickled down and they stabbed him in the side for an atonement. He died with that final blow, and that blood from the healing lashes on his back mixed with the atonement blood from his side. It's the same blood. You cannot separate healing and atonement. You can't separate the two. And here's the beautiful picture to me. That blood fell down onto the dust. It fell down on Adam's body. It began to mix in with Adam's body. And I think that's a beautiful picture because it shows that that redemptive blood covers your flesh in its entirety.
Amen. Amen.
His body was broken. He's the Word. And that Word was slashed and broken and beat. You know, at the same times, the seals were slashed and open. Catch it? They're open.
Amen.
Because the seals are the Word as well.
Amen.
And a prophet caught the revelation of the seals. So what is the Word today? What is the blood? It's the revelation of Jesus Christ caught up in this message.
Amen.
The light for our age.
Amen.
And it's the Word of God. Brother Branham would say, for years, the blood bridged the gap. The blood bridged the gap.
Amen.
God on one side, man on the other. The blood bridged the gap.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
But you go beyond 1963, and it changed. It changed to the blood did not bridge the gap. The blood did not bridge the gap. It removed the gap. After the seals were open, Brother Branham saw the blood had the power not just to bridge the gap, but to completely remove the separation between God and man.
Amen.
Nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Ain't that what Paul said? There's no gap anymore. There's no gap anymore between God and his people. They've now become one unit. The blood has paved the way back to the original word of God. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. You cannot take this message from me. You cannot take this voice away from me. It is the most precious thing in my life. It saved me. It picked me up. It filled me with the Holy Ghost. It set me apart. It put my future in His hands. Nothing you're going through, nothing you're coming to, nothing you've been through can separate you from the love of God. Amen. I've showed up tonight to let the devil know you cannot stop us. The blood is here tonight. Our God is more powerful. God's anointed you to be here tonight. I don't need to hear your problems. We talked a little bit about John and the Isle of Patmos. Remember that at the beginning here? He didn't write about his problems. He wrote about the solution. The blood is here tonight. Praise the Lord. Just get in this word. My God is greater than any problem. I want to talk about something. Brother, I thought this was extremely powerful. Powerful when I read this. Y'all remember the vision Brother Branham had of the little boy that raised from the dead. If you don't know, I'll kind of elaborate a little bit. But he had this vision of this little boy raising from the dead, and 2 years later, he came upon that very scene. Brother Branham would say, I seen a little boy being raised from the dead. I went down to Miami and there and predicted before thousands of people. He saw it in a vision. He described with great detail what the young boy would look like, right down to his hairstyle and his eye color. This is tremendous. Then it happened. 2 years later, Brother Branham was in Finland when he came upon the scene of a deadly car crash. An American-made car struck and killed two children. The car knocked one of the children into a tree and crushed his brain. And the car rolled over on the other child, and he was laying there dead underneath. And the boy's parents were on their way to the sad scene Brother Branham would mention. The child had been dead about 30 minutes. And Brother Branham said he looked down twice, and then he asked someone to raise the little boy's coat off of his lifeless body. And at that moment, the Lord replayed in Brother Branham's mind the vision he had seen of that little boy being raised from the dead. He recalled the vision. Every bone in his body was broken, and his foot run through his sock. It was that boy perfectly. Oh my, what a feeling. You could take every scientist in the world, stand him there, and every demon out of the torments of hell could be standing there, but it's going to happen anyhow. God's already said it. It's going to be done. Brother Branham said, if that little boy isn't on his feet in the next 5 minutes, I'm a false prophet. Brother Branham knelt down over the boy just as he had seen himself do in that vision. And he prayed, Lord, God of heavens and earth, over the homeland you showed me this vision while passing through Georgia one night. I pray to thee, Lord, God, that now you will confirm the word so they might know that you are still the Lord Jesus and that Finland would know that you are the resurrection from the dead. With that, Brother Branham laid his hands on that lifeless boy and called for the spirit of death to give the boy back. And immediately, he said, the little boy jumped up screaming and running around. He was raised from the dead and his broken bones healed all in an instant. And the news spread all over Finland. The mayor even certified the event, and it went down in modern church history as one of the most astounding miracles. And I want you to think about something here tonight. When God made Adam, Brother Branham said that he lay there dead as a doorknob. And God can't have fellowship with something dead, church. I'm going to repeat that. God can't have fellowship with something dead, church. Fellowship begins with common ground. And common ground with an omnipotent God is his own attributes and his life. And God breathed life into Adam, and he had fellowship with Adam. And I believe tonight that the bride of Jesus Christ is the same life and attributes and order of God. This message is life. This message is Christ. And I can stand here today and charge every demon of unbelief in this building tonight, and I condemn you in the name of Jesus Christ, because there's a presence in this building, and there's power in this building, and there's anointing in this building. He's here in truth. Do you believe that tonight? Jesus Christ is here in the form of the Holy Ghost, in the form of a bride body. The signal of a new birth is announcing his presence. He's here. He's here to reclaim. He's here to heal. He's here to save. He's here to unveil himself and make himself more real than he's ever been to you in your whole life. He's here. We have seen his appearing by his word, his own word. Even if you say to me, preacher, I don't have much of a testimony, use what you've got to crush the devil. Amen. Think about it. Brother Covey, I'm about done. Think about it. Use what you've got to crush the devil, church. Yeah. David used what he had.
That's right.
It might have been small, but the anointing behind it was all that mattered.
Amen.
Brother Branham said David picked up his stone and he danced all the way down. And with a crack, with a boom, that stone went forth because of the anointing behind it. He knew God would back him up, and it doesn't matter if it's a bear or a lion. I was just visiting Brother Covey's house, and I don't know if you guys have ever been there. There's bears, and there's lions, and there's... And I was talking to his brother, Mike, and he was telling me a story. It gave me a little bit of inspiration for tonight that he used to wrestle bears. It got me thinking about David, who would wrestle bears, right? Doesn't matter if it's a bear or a lion or an uncircumcised Philistine standing in front of you tonight. Use what you've got. You've got your testimony, and you've got the blood of the Lamb. And what is the blood of the Lamb? It's this word. It is this word. And you've got to stay right with the word. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. I think it's a beautiful picture. When Jesus was there on the cross and that blood spilled onto the dust, I think about this. The water that poured out of his side and the blood that poured out of his side began to mix in that soil, and it began to reveal something that was within that soil. Seeds began to grow. So the word going forth reveals who you are. You weren't a son or daughter of God. You weren't made a son or daughter of God. Think about it here. The word revealed what was already in you. When the word hit your body, it hit your ears, it revealed who you were, and you began to become just like that pond lily. You can't help it. You've got to go up. You've got to go towards the sun. You can't help it. It's just in you. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Brother Eric, I'm ready.
Well, did you get enough? I tell you. Yeah, you know, that little song, Let's Have a Little Talk with Jesus, that's what it felt like to me tonight. Just a little talk with Jesus, you know. Sometimes I love it when the fire comes down, but sometimes I just like sitting in my living room with him and just having just that slow little time. Yeah. So anyway, what a blessing. What a blessing. And, you know, we all do have a testimony and things like that, but one thing he kept saying in those visions, and then the money coming for the house and things, and it just hit me. 100 years ago, God has already provided. He already provided that. He sent his friend. He, you know, they're on judgment day or when you're standing before God, and he says, thank you for clothing me, and thank you for this, and thank you for that. Well, when did I clothe you, Lord? Well, it was when you done it unto the least of these. You've done it unto me. You know, boy, you never know. I know we're bride and things, and I when somebody just gives us a cup of water, they can inherit eternal life for that. But me and my brothers talked another day. What about the ones that are bride that we don't realize, but we're giving them a cup of water? You know, it's just what a blessing. What a blessing. Wow. I just feel so filled up. It's almost like I just want to spew out, you know. But yeah, God is so, so thoughtful to us. You know, we might have could have went to the movies tonight, but we would have got an earthly manna. But we can come to God's house and we get heavenly manna, you know. And we just seems like, I don't know if it's God gives us something. Maybe he gives us a huge spiritual appetite. Because me and my brother, we visit church after church after church. And wherever he leads me, that's where we go, you know. And you know how preachers tried to discourage him not to preach. But yet, he was trying to do his father's will. His father, he mentioned that he wasn't real smart, you know, so this ain't going to be too bad. But he said, yeah, it had to happen three times before I'd even get it. You know, sometimes Papa God, he says, no, didn't I tell you to go take out the trash? Didn't I tell you? You know, I got to say this about my dad. Whenever we were young, he used to work at General Motors, and he'd say, no, boys, I get off at 3:30, and we just lived across the street from where he worked, so it didn't take him long to get home. He said, no, boys, I want every trash can in the house emptied by the time I get home. And if they're not, each one that I have to empty, it's going to cost you a dollar. And we got like $5 for allowance, and there's like 10 trash cans, so we might have been owing him if we didn't take out the trash. But God, he just says, did I not tell you? Did you not hear? And yet we just have to sometimes spiritually shake our head and say, yes, we heard that. We heard that. And then me and my brother would be talking about things, and we'll come here to church. And he's told me, I've been scolded, Brother Nate. He said, I've been to these last couple Bible studies on Sunday nights, and boy, and he goes into an hour of what happened here, and you need to come in here. And I'm like, I know, and I want to be here. I'm going to blush here in a minute, but yeah. But it's a hunger, and God knows where you need to go to fill that. And it's always back to the Word. It's always back to the Word. It's not in the songs. It's not in what we can say or do. It's back to God's Word. Doesn't the buck stop somewhere? And it has to stop with God. Well, I did get a little request here when I stepped out of my seat. They would like you to sing, sister, if you would. Didn't you say she can sing, maybe? Oh, no. Yeah. You're amongst friends. Actually, you're amongst family. Yes. You know, things happen when you step out. But if you step out on faith, anything can happen. Yes.
I'm sorry. It was Dad's fault.
Amen. Well, I guess I'll just start with one of the classics, Only Believe.
Amen.
Right. I don't know. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Jesus is here.
See what a blessing can happen if you just step out on faith. And like she's saying, Jesus is here. And you can feel that unless you just don't have no feeling. But Jesus is here. And you know, when Jesus comes on the scene, everything that he is, and he's everything, comes right with him. He's the great counselor. If you just need counseling, he's there for you. Healing. If you got any sickness, he's right here tonight. And it's just, if you don't, the Bible don't help you none if you don't open it. You know, if you just read everybody by the cover of their book, that's about all you see. That's all you can judge them by. But if you open the pages of a person's life, just like this brother, who knew him before an hour ago, you know, he opens the pages of his life and seems like his whole life, he was following this message, not even knowing there was a message. And then all at once, I can just picture, I know the guy he bought the house from, and he's maybe 5'2", maybe, little fella. What? Oh, it's way too tall. He's about 4'9", and a little Italian guy, a little skinny guy. I've known him for about 40, 30 years or so. And I can just imagine him picking him up, swirling him around. You know what, brother? I've always wanted to do that, but I just never had the guts, you know? So his name is Brother Sal, Brother Sal Marzoli, and very good brother, good friend of mine. And but yeah, Jesus is right here tonight. Does anybody have a need? We've got ministers of faith up here that if you just want them to just pray the prayer of faith, you will be healed. Because we may go back on our word, but God, it's impossible for God to go back on his word. Have you ever heard of an opportunity? This is an opportunity if you just need a touch from God. And if you don't, you're a blessed people in this church. I know he has already provided all my needs. Yes, and sister, yes. Do you need a touch? Do you like? Yeah, come on up. Let's pray for you. Brother Nate, Brother Nick, if you will, come up. Yes. Do we need the rapid oil, if you like? Yes. Come on. What do you need? Just more of him. Yes. More of him. Sister wants more of him. Couldn't we all stand here? Buddy, I'd have both my hands up.
Oh, yes.
More of him. You know, he's got everything. He's eternal. We all could have all we want of him and more. Well, he could give us so much of him that we could give it to all of our friends, and there'd still be more than a cattle on a thousand. Or there could be cattle on a thousand hills instead of a thousand cattle on a hill. But let's just pray for this sister. Heavenly Father, Lord, Lord, if we didn't believe you, Lord, we wouldn't be standing here. But God, we know that all things work together for the good. And Lord, wanting more of you, God, Lord, thank you, God. Touch each one up here, Lord. More of you, God. More of you. Lord, thank you. Don't you just thank the Lord for showing up tonight? What if he never showed up? Oh, my. Yes. Remember, he's already provided. Take him home with you. Take him to your neighbors. Anybody else need a touch from God? Yes. Boy, he's done a lot of work in your life. Yes, we love seeing it. Yes.
Amen. Heavenly Father. Lord, Melanie's standing here today. Lord, her heart's desire is to please you.
Yes.
She wants to stand for you, Lord, and want to be identified with your word, Lord. Oh, Satan battles her, but Lord, greater is he that's in her than he is in the world. Her heart's desire is to be whatever you want her to be. And Lord, give her more of that desire, Lord. So much so that Satan won't even know how to just even move because she's got so much of you in her. Bless her, Father. You know her needs. You know what her heart's desire is and why she's standing here tonight. Just grant it, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray.
Bless
you. Amen.
Bless your holy name. My God is so good.
John Hammond. Amen. We're going to pray for you too. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you and bring our sisters before you. Lord, we could stand here and ask them what they want. But Lord, your word's a discerner. You know the desire of their heart. And Lord, your word can cut through any situation, any problem, and give her the desire of her heart. I know this sister, and I know she loves you. Lord, touch her both naturally in her body and spiritually in her heart, that, Lord, she can press and be that example that she wants to be. She loves you, Father. Bless her. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Anybody else? Come on out, Sister Judy.
Total body healing.
He doesn't halfway do anything. That's for sure.
Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening. Sister's desire is for a healing. We pray that you'll touch her from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, Lord, knowing that you are a healer. Or as a brother said tonight, that when that stripe was put on his back, that was for our healing. And Lord, we claim the healing in the name of Jesus Christ. And we'll go away from here tonight thanking you in advance for what you've already done. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Claim the victory.
Amen.
Claim the victory. Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Husband sent me.
Your husband sent you? That's a good place for him to send you. No better place. Amen. Heavenly Father, our sis comes here, and she's admitted in her own testimony here that it wasn't even her, but her husband sent her here.
Yes.
But by that obedience, Lord, we ask you to move in her behalf, knowing that her heart's desire is to please you.
Yes.
But Lord, sometimes Satan gets in the way, but Lord, we bind him in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And Lord, we ask her to just ask you to just touch her home, touch her life.
Yes.
Let her get a whole new outlook on the job of a wife and her place with her husband. And Lord, though she's listening and obeying him, we want it to be from her heart, Father.
Yes.
Move in that home. Not only bless her, but Lord, touch him and help him as well. Father, just bless that home. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. Sister Dawn. You got a bucket full?
Yeah, I have a lot of faith. I believe God can do everyone.
Amen. Heavenly Father. Our sister says she's got a bucket full of needs.
Yes.
But, oh Lord, as she pours her bucket into your bucket, it doesn't even begin to hit the bottom.
Amen.
Because, Lord, you can handle everything she has and more. And, Father, I ask you to touch her physically, touch her mentally, touch her spiritually. And, Lord, all the ones that are leaning on her, Lord, I ask you to just send forth that word that it'll even extend itself from her to them, that you can answer the prayers that she has for them. Thank you for everything, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we pray.
Amen.
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 Go claim that victory. Claim that victory.
Come on, sis.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Heavenly Father, our sister's here tonight. Her heart's desire is to please you. Lord, the people are not here because we want to be worse. We want to please you. And Lord, she has things in her life that she wants you to move. She has questions that she has to have answered. She has desires that she wants fulfilled. I ask you to move on all her needs, Lord. Touch her parents, touch her family, touch her children, touch her husband, and let them all see that, Lord, your word has moved in her life in such a way that it'll even draw them.
Yes.
Thank you, Father, for it all. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
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 Wow.
Wow. More.
Sister,
got a bucket full,
too. All right. Amen.
Heavenly Father.
Lord Jesus, we come before you again, and we ask you to just deal with Sister Sue's need.
Yes.
You know what her heart's desires are, and you know what she needs, Father. I ask you to move in her home. Move in her family. Touch her body. Lord, just you are a complete healer of everything. And that list that she has, that bucket full that she's bringing to you tonight, Lord, you moving on behalf, move in so many directions that it'll be hard for her to even see all the things that you're doing on her behalf. Lord, let it be done, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you. Warren. No, it's not just for sisters. It's whoever will, let him come.
That's right. Yes.
Heavenly Father, Brother Warren has come before us this evening, standing in a need of prayer.
Yes.
Lord, we ask you to move in his life. Yes. Let his life be such an example that it draws his family.
Yes.
Even as he does his work, Lord, let them know that there's something special about him. That, Lord, that even in talking with him and dealing with him, that they don't know what it is. They know it's special. But, Lord, the special thing about it is that it's you. I ask you to touch and move in his life.
Thank you.
In Jesus Christ's name we pray.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you.
Brothers can come up too. Amen. God bless you, Brother Ted.
Big time.
Heavenly Father, Lord, Brother Ted here is standing in the need of prayer. Lord, he loves you. You know his needs. Even when he moves forward in life, he tries to do everything he can to please you. Ask you to touch in his needs, Lord. His may not be physical, but Father, whatever the need is, and it's not even so much always touch my body, but touch my life. Touch the direction that I'm going. Help me with my decisions and help me to be able to provide everything that I need and bring everything so that it can come right back to give you the glory. Thank you for it all. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Anyone else?
Anybody else? Come on, Brother Deskin. Amen.
He knows more than I
do. Lord Jesus. His brother Don has come here this evening. Oh, he's a blessing to this body. But he has needs, Lord. And we ask you to just help him, Father. Deal with his heart. Deal with his mind. Settle him in such a way that, Lord, he'll rest in your promises. And I know he does, but Satan buffets him sometime. And Lord, we want you to just move that out of the way. And you know all the troubles and the trials that he goes through. And Father, we pray that you'll just let him know that you're always right there by his side. In those lonely nights when he's waking up in the middle of the night and it's not so much a battle, but it's a fellowship with you. Let him just have that time with you. And Lord, bring things to him so that he can turn around and bring it back to us. Because that's you in his home. That's you in his presence. And he's such an example and such a strong brother to this body. And Lord, he leads and he directs, and ask you to just continue to be with him. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
You coming with her? Mama's coming with her. Amen. God bless you. Lord Jesus, our sisters come this evening. Oh Lord, she knows you're real. She's here because she wants to be here. She has needs and she has questions in her mind, and she needs you to settle those things in her heart and her life. Lord, so settle this message that, Lord, nothing can move her. Nothing can come between her and you. Paul said, what can separate us from the love of God? Nothing can do that, Lord. And Lord, as she stands here tonight, I ask you to just bless her just for taking this step. I ask you to give her another step. Move her even further so that she'll know you're so real that nothing this world even shines in her way can stand in her way. Help her, Father. Deliver her from all the things that just troubles her mind. And let her be a strong believer in your word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on in, Mama. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Heavenly Father, got our sisters here this evening. Not that she's trying to become a believer. She is a believer. Not that she needs so much in particular for herself, but she stands in the gap for others. And And Lord, I pray that you move in her life and in behalf, that Lord, she'll be that strong tower that others can lean upon. That when they're down and they don't know which way to turn, Lord, sometimes when she doesn't know what to do, Lord, give her the answers. Show her how she can be that arm of God, that leg of God, that she can walk as you walk, and she'll be exactly what you're looking for in her life. Lord, she loves you. It's no doubt of that. She's given her life for you. And Lord, as she stands here, she's broken, not so much in sorrow, but Lord, she just wants to be what you want her to be, and ask you to move in her behalf. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you, sis. Amen.
Boy, isn't God just so good? Yes. Remember all needs. All needs.
Yes.
I am a family member.
Yes, come on.
We'll come and stand in the gap for them.
Yes.
Amen. Heavenly Fathers,
thank you.
Lord, you've stood in a gap for us. And as our brother said tonight, that gap has been closed, and now it's not God over there and us over here, but Lord, it's you veiled in skin. And Brother Steve is standing here tonight on behalf of his family, knowing that the only God that they'll see in this hour is the God that they see in him. They need a touch from you, but Lord, that touch is coming through him. And I ask you to send him as an ambassador of Christ, that, Lord, he can be that representation and take that healing and deliverance and the calmness that the family needs. I ask you to just move in his behalf so that he can be that solid rock that they'll be able to lean on. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We got plenty of prayer.
Yes.
We won't run out.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. You're mine, and so is ours. Yes. Brother Branham said the greatest battle that ever fought is in that mind.
Amen. Yes.
Heavenly Father, our sister's come tonight, and she wants to win this battle.
Yes. Yes.
She wants to defeat the enemy, and the enemy is in her mind. And Father, we ask you to give her your word in such a way that every time that battle starts, she can find some part of the word that she can pick up and defeat the devil with.
Thank you,
Lord. Ask you to move in her behalf, Lord, and make her stronger than she's ever been.
Yes.
Let her realize that the word that she's received is the same word that's going to help her defeat that battle.
Yes.
Greater is he that's in us than he is in the world.
Yes.
And Lord, ask you to help her, Lord. Help her to become an overcomer. Let her know that, Lord, we are more, not just conquerors, but more than conquerors in this battle.
Yes, yes, yes.
And, Lord, the battle's really already won.
Yes, yes.
We're just playing out the part. But because she's a believer, because she's a daughter of God, she's already guaranteed to win.
Yes.
Satan is defeated. And, Lord, let her tell him that every time he tries to mess with her mind.
Yes.
In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
I've been a slave to tobacco for 53 years, and I want free.
Amen.
I want it all for me.
Amen.
Because it's killing me.
Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, our brother here has come, and he's asked that you remove a demon that's followed him for 53 years.
Yes, yes.
Oh, as was preached tonight, sometime all it takes is just a few words about the word.
Yes.
And it'll cause those demons to flee. It's his heart's desire to be relieved of that demon. It won't make him any more ready for heaven. It'll just help him to live better down on earth, to be healthy. And it's a demon that's killing him. And Lord, he doesn't want to die. He wants to live for you. Satan, you're a liar, and we bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. And according to the words of God, that he's got to go. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for the healing. Thank you for the deliverance. We'll claim it, and we'll start confessing it from this night forward. Claiming and confessing that I am healed. I am delivered. I am an overcomer. I have received the healing that God promised that I would have. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
How many of you in here has been freed from nicotine? I know I'm one of them. Brother, he's not a respecter of persons at all. Yes. And whom God has set free, free indeed. He even gives you a deed. He says it belongs to you. So I'm believing with you, brother. Definitely.
Amen. We're going to stand right there and claim it.
Yes.
Anybody else? You got a bucket full too?
Almighty.
Heavenly Father, as our brother comes this evening, Lord, he's got a lot of things on his plate. He's a young man that's got a lot of load and worry and situations going on in his life. A lot of desires that he wants fulfilled. A lot of things that he wants to see manifested. And Father, we ask you to move in his behalf. Touch his family through him. Touch his friends through him. Lord, let him be such a light that they can't almost help but to see that you're standing right before him. Ask you to just look in that list, in that bucket that he's got, and empty it out, Father. Answer them one by one and move in such a way that it'll astonish even him at how fast and how quickly you'll move. Thank you, Father, for the answers and the healing and the deliverance and the solutions. Thank you for it all in advance. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. God knows. God knows.
He knows everything. All things and the answers here.
Amen. Heavenly Father, our brother come here tonight and standing. Lord, he needs you to touch him. He doesn't even know how to even ask what he wants. But Lord, you said that you know what our heart's desires are even before we ask. Oh, just touch his life. Touch his heart. Touch his desire. Move it forward in such a way that every time he hears the word, he'll just gobble it down and realize that it's the word of God. And it does matter what you believe and what you do with the word when it's presented to you. And as our brother stands here tonight, just let him receive your word. And that word will deliver him from all of the things that are on his heart and his mind so that he can know that, Lord, you're real. You are a real God, and you have a real group of people who serve you, and he wants to be one of them. So let him serve you with all that is in his heart. Thank you, Father. Answer his needs. Answer his needs, even if he doesn't know how to ask them. You know his heart, and you deliver him from, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 He's real.
You know, there's an old song, there's a verse, and it says, there was a little woman, and she was sick for many years. But when she sought Jesus, she came to him with tears. But God knew her very need before she even prayed, because the answer was already on the way.
Amen.
And you know what? That's why God knows everything, because he knows who would be here tonight.
Yes.
And he knew that he was going to show up, because he had to take care of his children and his
Amen.
Needs. So, but boy, God is so good. Anybody else need a touch from God? He's right here. You need a touch? Yes.
Ask the Lord. I want to have my faith in
Yes.
God knows what I want.
Yes.
And I'm a believer in his word.
And we are too, sister.
I want all unbelief to leave.
Yes.
I'm ready to go forward.
You know, where two or three are gathered, look around you. There's more than two or three
more than
believers. And if one can chase off 1,000, two can chase off 10,000, we're probably in the billions of devils right here tonight.
I believe that.
That we can chase off.
I believe that.
Yes.
Heavenly Father, we come before you, and Clarissa's desire, she wants to move all the doubt, all the unbelief out of the way. And Lord, she wants to stand on your word, regardless of what it looked like, regardless of what it feels like. We're not doing this because we feel it or we see it, but we do it because your word said it. We ask you to just move in her behalf and answer her prayers and strengthen her faith and move her forward in you. We thank you, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I receive it.
Amen. That's the whole thing, is receiving it.
Amen.
If you don't receive it, there's nothing you can do. Yes. God bless you.
Amen.
Yes.
God bless you.
Boy, what a night it's been.
Amen.
You know, the only thing I can say is, Lord, thank you for showing up. Thank you for showing up. Is there be anyone else would have a need? Anyone at all? Well, let me get back up here. Let's sing one song that's on my heart. And then, yes. You know, there was a young girl one time in Sunday school. She's about 8 or 9 years old, and she just stood up for that Sunday school class, and she just said, I love Jesus. And it started a revival that's still probably touching us to this day. But she loved Jesus. How many can say you love Jesus tonight and that you love him? How many are glad that Jesus set you free? Oh, I'm so glad. Let's sing at us, key of F. I'm so glad Jesus set me free. Sing it with all you got.
Well, I'm so glad Jesus set me free. Well, I'm so glad, oh, Jesus set me free. Well, I'm so glad Jesus set me free. I'm singing glory, hallelujah, oh, Jesus set me free.
We'll sing that through one more time, but if you're glad Jesus set you free, just step out now and start shaking your brothers and sisters' hands tonight, you know, because these are people that you're going to spend eternity with.
Well, I'm so glad Jesus set me free. Well, I'm so glad Jesus set me free. Set me free. Well, I'm so glad Jesus set me free. Well, I'm so glad Jesus set me free. Well, I'm so glad Jesus set me free. I'm singing glory, hallelujah. set me free. Well, I'm so glad Jesus set me free. I'm singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free. I'm on my way to heaven, shouting victory. On my way to heaven, shouting victory. I'm on my way to heaven, shouting victory. I'm singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free.
You know, I was just thinking that preaching was so good and that testimony, but you know, when our sister came up here and she sang Only Believe, I think there was a presence that just came down. And it touched me so much that that's why I felt just to maybe just have Jesus show up here for you, you know. But are you glad you came to the house of the Lord? You wouldn't be nowhere else, would you? Brother Nate, is there anything you have right here? We'll lift
her. Just go close it out.
Thank you.
Amen. It's good to be here. It's good to, I don't like to miss service because you never know what you're going to get. You never know what you're going to get. And God's blessed us. Our brother preached. It was good. Appreciate him coming. Amen. And appreciate you all coming. It matters what you believe. It does matter. It does make a difference too.
Amen.
Because if you can only believe, then all things are possible. You can get what you need if you can believe. So it's good to have our brother here. It's good to have you all here. Brother Colby, you did it again. Amen. Appreciate it. Come back Sunday expecting. And let's see what the Lord will have to do again. So we're going to sing something as we leave. And we're going to get on out of here. Amen. Seems like I like certain songs. I'll sing them all the time. Amen. Well, there's a lot of good ones. I want to live the way he wants me to live. That's what we want. That's what everybody who came up for prayer tonight, that's really their heart's desire. We want to do what God wants us to do. We want to live like he wants us to live. We want to believe like he wants us to believe. Oh, I can identify with running from preaching. I can identify with running from church. I can identify with all of that because I'm like, well, I know exactly what he's talking about. I never would have dreamed I'd been up here tonight. But God knows what he's doing. So now I just want to live like he wants me to do. You know, he's got me now. Whatever he wants, I'm willing. When you get to that point, or you just say, Lord, whatever you want, I want, you're there. Because then he can do whatever he wants with you.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. I want to live the way.